Thank you very much, Lord Willetts, and thank you also to Robert and Gavin for their introductions. Robert mentioned the CBI in his introduction. I would like to say on behalf of Make UK that other trade associations are available, and Make UK is one of the country's big five manufacturing and trade associations. The CBI, Institute of Directors, Federation of Small Business and the Chamber of Commerce and ourselves work very closely together on a range of cross-cutting issues, working closely with Number 10, with the Department for Business and the Treasury, and have been very, very heavily engaged over the last few weeks and months in the COVID response and the COVID challenge. And in many respects, that tees up what I want to talk to you about today. But it is worth taking a little bit of a step backwards to understand the specific issues in manufacturing and some of the challenges that both big and small companies across the country have faced for a long time, and then to think a little bit about how the pandemic has affected those challenges and where we think we will go next. Manufacturing has been a renaissance industry over the last 20 years, and actually public perception still lags some way behind the reality of where the sector is today. The British public, when we last surveyed them, think that Britain is somewhere in the mid-50s globally in terms of where it ranks as a manufacturing power. And that would put us somewhere around the level of Kazakhstan. The reality is we're one of the world's top 10 manufacturing nations and are competing with the USA, with Germany, with China, and so on, in terms of the work that we do and the impact that we have. And currently, the topic of international trade in relation to Brexit and international trade deals is particularly pertinent. And although manufacturing is about 12% of the entire UK economy at its core, it's slightly larger if you also add in some of the supporting industries that, that work with and rely on manufacturing for business. It's about 12% of the economy at its purest level, but we provide about half of all of our exports. So we punch above our weight when it comes to international trade and exports. So the sector is thriving, it's growing, and in recent years, the renaissance that I talked about has been sparked by the fact that Britain is now one of the very best, arguably the best country in the world in utilising just-in-time logistics. And we have seen a rebirth of our car industry. The Nissan plant in Sunderland produces more cars at that one site than the entire Italian car industry does. So when you add in some of those things across different sectors, aviation, a really strong space industry, and many other core aspects, electronics and so on, we've had a real rebirth of manufacturing in the UK in the last few years. The challenge has been that that renaissance has been moving at a faster pace than the skills development in the UK has been able to keep up. And actually, despite the challenges of Brexit and COVID and many other things over recent years, manufacturing companies, when surveyed, have still put skills as their number one issue, even above those two, even in the last few years of challenge and anxiety. And that is because we have a fantastic university sector that is able to produce really, really capable, highly skilled graduates in engineering, and in particular, as we move forward, some of the digital aspects of engineering. But where we have struggled is to keep pace with the medium level technical skilled people, not graduates, not people in the highly skilled category, but really the technicians that drive the work that's done in factories and industrial plants around the country. And there are many, many reasons for that. It's not for the want of effort. It's not for the want of trying, both on behalf of successive governments and indeed on behalf of many industrial players as well. But we have a situation where about a third of all vacancies in manufacturing at that technical skills level go unfilled for more than 3 months because there is such a shortage of qualified and highly capable technicians. That gap, I think, has been the case even despite the ability to access skilled labour from Europe. So the first challenge that manufacturing is going to face is that as it becomes harder to access skilled labour from Europe, we are anticipating that that skills gap is going to get more significant and more challenging. The other issue I think that is being very much exacerbated by COVID is the fact that firms who are now looking at the choices they have to make and the decisions about where they're going to spend their money over the next few years. And many of them now have much less money to spend than they anticipated. Many of them are in a process of making redundancies. There is a real challenge around apprenticeships. Apprenticeships are, in many respects, the long-term solution to this problem. If we can make a real step forward in bringing apprentices into manufacturing, people who are excited by working in a high-tech and interesting industry that produces high-quality goods and is hopefully going to really get to grips with the digital agenda, then apprenticeships are part of the long-term solution. There has actually been a real interest and an increase in interest amongst young people to take apprenticeships in the last few months. There's a tangible connection between the work we've been able to do and our member companies have been able to do to really demonstrate the value of engineering in a crisis, when we have seen things like British companies respond to the ventilator challenge, British companies respond to the need to get PPE into hospitals and care homes, British firms being able to ensure that even in the middle of the height of panic buying, we got food onto the shelves of supermarkets and people were able to continue to buy what they needed. And that's seen a real interest amongst young people in forging a career in manufacturing. The challenge is that the firms that need to take them on don't have the money to do so. Make UK runs its own high-tech apprentice training centre in Birmingham, and there's been a reduction from about an average intake of 300, 350 apprentices to this year, well below 100. And that's not about enthusiasm, it's about the financial challenges that companies are facing. That's the sense of the scale of the problem. That's what's critical. What we think needs to be done is myriad. It's a very, very complex issue. It's a very long-term issue. But what is absolutely vital to ensure that firms have the skills that they need, and these are absolutely key to business resilience, people and skills. If you don't have them, you will not be resilient. You will not cope. We think it's absolutely critical that government really finally grasp the nettle and make some reforms to the apprentice levy. The apprentice levy is a very good idea, but has not quite worked, I think, in the way that people anticipated. We still see a number of issues around that, but in particular, it's a very, very precise and defined scheme. And I think if businesses had the ability to be more flexible in the way they use their apprentice money, it would be incredibly helpful. We also do need to look at some of the issues around the government's announcements about training and lifetime learning commitments. But one of the issues is that if you want to upskill manufacturers and take on the digital challenge, we again are somewhat stymied by the suggestion that if you've already got A-levels or equivalent qualifications, you won't be able to utilize some of the financial support. We're waiting to see the detail, but at face value, that could be a bit of a challenge because many people who've got professional technical skills have effectively reached that threshold already. COVID could be the dynamic traction at which we really accelerate the digital skills agenda. But if you've already got qualifications in existing skills, the challenge will be to enable you to utilize some of those provisions to upskill yourself and get digital skills. It's not simply about the acquisition of skills, it is critically about the upskilling of the existing workforce to complement, hopefully, a renewed push for apprenticeships. And one of the other things we're looking for is more flexibility around some of those schemes so that people with a strong skill set, but a skill set that is very much in existing skills, can have this opportunity now to move forward. And I think the final point is that we do anticipate, and sadly have already started to see, significant degrees of redundancy in manufacturing. These are skilled people. And one of the big challenges is that many of them are people at the end of their careers or towards the end of their careers, who are the firms, the people that really have the skills that are close to dying out. What we need, and I think as well as very targeted responses around apprenticeships and the learning commitment, is also a regional focus. Manufacturing is disproportionately a large part of the economy in some of those bits of the country where the government wishes to level up and where there have often been particularly severe impacts from previous economic downturns. As well as the focus through business, there needs to be a regional focus so that there is a skills capability. And going back to where I started, one of the problems and one of the reasons why we found ourselves in a skill shortage situation in the first place was that actually the cost of providing engineering skills is very expensive. It's very unfair to always pick on hairdressing. We all need hairdressers. I would look even worse than I do this morning without one. But actually the cost to a training provider of providing a hairdressing apprenticeship is a fraction of the cost of providing an engineering and manufacturing apprenticeship because of the equipment you need to buy and maintain. And particularly when you look at the digital agenda, the very high tech costs have a really, really significant investment challenge to the training sector. So what we need to see in order to address this is a real focus on providing training, supporting training providers, so that we can take that big uptick in digital training and re-equip our workforce, both the new people coming in and the people already there, with the skills for the future. I hope that gives you an idea of some of the pressures that we're under in manufacturing. I don't want to overshoot my time, but very happy to pick up questions as we go forward. Thanks very much.